This is a Jazz Online podcast special, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Charlie Hayden's Quartet West. Featured on this episode is legendary bassist Charlie Hayden and producer and vocalist Ruth Cameron, who discussed the band's vocal recordings, The Art of the Song, and Sophisticated Ladies.
My love is ever you, my love. Now and forever, you, my love.
Charlie Hayden.
I come from vocal music because my parents sang country music. Back then they called it hillbilly music, on the radio before I was born, and my brothers and sisters were added to the family band, and we got to know the Carter family and the Delmore brothers and all the important people, the Stanley brothers, in country music. So I sang from the time I was 2 years old until I was 15, when I had bulbar polio that paralyzed my vocal cords and my throat and my face. And I had to stop singing. And that's when I put all my attention into playing, you know. But I've always loved singers. I've always loved beautiful voices. I've always loved beautiful lyrics. I pay attention to all of that stuff, you know, and my favorite singers, you know, I've always felt close to, as if they were instrumentalists, just like Charlie Parker and Art Tatum, you know, Billie Holiday and Jerry Southern, you know, they were favorite singers that really brought something special because they were special. So the song and the vocal thing is very close to me, and when we were recording The Art of the Song, we thought about, you know, our favorite vocalist had just passed away, which was Jerry Southern. But Shirley Horn was very close to how we felt about vocal music. And Bill Henderson is a singer that recorded many, many years ago with Oscar Peterson, and he was from Chicago. He had a really different voice. The timbre of his voice and the vibrato was different. So we got these songs together. And I remember when we called Shirley Horn, we were at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, and I called her on a cell phone, and I said, Ruth and I want you to do a record with us. And she said, great, honey. When do you want me to be there?
A town's a lonely town. When you pass through, and there is no one waiting there for you, then it's a lonely town.
Then, you know, Ruth had this idea too. She said, you know, you should try to sing. And we got this idea from Terry Gross, who was interviewing me about this other album called Now Is the Hour. And so she said, how did you choose this song, Now Is the Hour? And I said, I used to listen to it when I was a little kid on the radio. And I really loved it. And she said, well, sing it for me. I said, are you kidding, man? I can't. She said, come on. So I sang it. And after the show, you know, called Fresh Air, she called back to the studio. And she said, you've got to sing on one of your records, man. That's great, you know. And so Ruth started thinking about it, and I started thinking about it. So I called Alan, and I said, so maybe you could write an arrangement on this song, Wayfaring Stranger, which my mom used to sing on the radio. And he said, well, that's not really a song for Shirley Horn. He said, who's going to sing it? I said, me. And there was a big silence, you know, and I think I heard him faint, you know. And then he said, you? I said, man, just write the arrangement, okay? And if I can't sing it, I'll play it on the bass. So that's what he did. And I went in the studio. I didn't practice or anything. I didn't sing anything. I just went in and sang the song, just for my parents, you know.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, a wandering through this world of woe. And there's no sin witness toil or danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going home to see my father.
Song also was a special kind of a way of expressing my music, and all along during my career I save these songs. I find these really beautiful songs that nobody ever knows about. They know them, they've never sung them, and not very many people do them, and I save them. And so this was the last album that Quartet West had made. This was like 2001 or two. And we started thinking about doing Sophisticated Ladies. I thought about our favorite singers and talked with Ruth, and all the singers that are on this record happen to be our very favorite singers singing right now, you know. And I just called everybody and I said, I want you to do this record. Ruth called people and I said, I want you to do this record with me and sing. And everybody just loved it, you know.
Ruth Cameron.
Charlie and I talked about how much fun it would be to have singers that are taking up the art form, picking it up, and moving their art form along, bringing their own sensibilities and their feelings of life and whatever into it, all these great young singers. Now, we'd known Nora because she knew people we knew, and she'd come to the studio and met Charlie and myself on an earlier album, actually, when we were recording with Gonzalo Rubalcaba. And we really love her timbre, and also her bass player as a former student of Charlie's, so there was a lot of connection with Nora. She really was for it. And she had a very definite idea about how she wanted to sing the song. Diana and Charlie talked about the song that Diana wanted to do, because Diana has been so supportive and really enthusiastic. And Diana had mentioned to Charlie she had always wanted to do the song Goodbye.
I'll never forget how we promised one day to love one another forever that we said we'd never say goodbye.
Charlie had a very definite idea of the song for Cassandra, and I felt that that was a great song for Cassandra because of her range. She has this beautiful low voice, and both of us visualized Cassandra singing that song, and she was very happy that it was a premiere. She really liked that aspect.
The waterfall at eventide, the echo calling down the mountainside. So began the soft melody of a love song. The sighing boughs against the sky.
It was the same with Renee Fleming. I felt, as a singer, I just said, I know Renee will do this song incredibly, because she has such a wonderfully trained voice. It's a magnificent voice, and she can let it all out, or she can bring it back in. She has great control and great musicality. And my vision of her was kind of as if Sarah Vaughan were singing it. And it was so amazing, because when she came into the studio, she had worked on the song, and she mentioned Sarah Vaughan. And to me, because Sarah Vaughan had this great range and great control, and I think, to me, that's where Renee really shines, when she sings something other than classical.
This is a thing so divine. A love like this.
And Melody Song, I loved that song, If I'm Lucky, so I kind of secretly wanted to sing it. But I had to, as a producer, admit that it was a song for a young person to sing, because it's an idealistic song, it's full of hope. And also the story of the singer singing these individual songs, it's about love. It's about love at any age, how one approaches and thinks about love when, you know, whether you're in your early 20s or, you know, maybe you've just been through kind of a disappointment in your early 30s or your 40s or your 50s. You know, each of the artists brings their truth to the song from what they've experienced.
If I'm lucky, you will tell me that you care, that we'll never be apart. If I'm lucky, this will be no light affair, it's forever from the start. If I'm lucky, there'll be moonbeams all around, shining bright as day. You will hold my hand and you'll understand all I cannot seem to say. If I'm lucky.
My background in singing comes from country music, and country music singers sing with their heart. And they sing as if they're speaking to you. And they don't change their voice when they start to sing, like a lot of singers do. I mean, they sing just the way they talk. And that's why, you know, Billie Holiday was one of my favorite singers, and also Jerry Southern. And when I met Ruth, you know, I heard her singing, and she didn't know I heard her, but I heard her, man, and I said, uh-oh. And I introduced her to Jerry Southern. And we all lived in L.A., and it really was a good meeting, because they're both really articulate and very smart and interested in all kinds of things, literature. And, you know, I got them together maybe for Ruth to study with Jerry, and it ended up they would spend the whole day talking about Nietzsche. I mean, that's the rapport that they had together. It was so wonderful. And I said, man, I want her to sing. And so we made her first record called First Song, and then her second record, which is called Roadhouse, inspired by the film Roadhouse with Richard Widmark and Cornel Wilde and Ida Lupino. And so were planning her third record, and which included this song, Let's Call It A Day, which I heard Peggy Lee sing on this very obscure record of hers, recorded back in the early 50s. And this song is so good, really so pretty. And she was going to do it on her own record. Then I asked her, I said, could you forego doing this on your record and you do it on my record? And I guess she reluctantly said, okay, I don't really want to do that, but I'll do it, you know. So that's how I got her to sing this song.
Let's call it a day. Let us say it was just meant to be. A sweet memory. Love won't stay. Let's call it a day.
I was so lucky that we could get everybody together, and my favorite singer happened to be my wife, so I didn't have any problem other than, you know, her telling me, you know, putting me in my place all the time. But anyway, it came together so great, and that's the way it continued in the studios and in New York and L.A. We had to record where we could get the singers because they're all on tour. And there were only two instances where I had to have the singers sing with headphones. Other than that, everybody was able to sing with the orchestra, which I really want, you know. That's the way the art of the song was done. Everybody sang with the orchestra, you know, even me. I'm so happy that we made this record. You know, I just always try to find a way that everybody can hear it. I wish I had one big stereo and I could invite all the people in the United States to come in the living room of this one stereo and I could sit with them and I could listen to every track with them.
For more information on Charlie Hayden's Quartet West, visit charliehaydenmusic.com and jazzonline.com. This has been a Jazz Online original production.